This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. Well, welcome to the first official day of spring, everybody. Temperatures are in the low 70s today, and the forecast for Thursday calls for highs, wait for it, in the 80s. And it's March in Boston. Now, unfortunately, if you're thinking of playing hooky on Thursday and going for a hike, or really even just walking the dog, what you're about to hear might give you pause. It's time for Common Health, and joining us now is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. And Carrie, sadly, we're talking ticks.
Yes, I'm afraid we are. Talking about ticks again, Adam, this is something that we have covered repeatedly on Common Health is Lyme disease. And I would just like to begin with a little emoting. I hate those ticks. I hate them. I have found them twice on my 7-year-old son, who has had Lyme disease twice now in his short life. Yes. And on Common Health, we have just posted some new kind of nasty news about Lyme disease, which is a prediction from the Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies that this will likely be a bad spring for Lyme disease.
And does this have to do with the warm temperatures?
It's actually not so much with the warm temperatures. It's more to do with the fluctuation of mouse populations and acorn harvests. But let's hear about that from the expert, Dr. Richard Ostfeld, who's a Cary Institute disease ecologist. And I think he's with us. Rick, are you there?
I am here.
Great. Hey, Rick, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Thank you very much, Adam.
So can you explain to us what's behind your latest prediction that, in fact, there may be more Lyme disease than usual this spring?
Yes, we're predicting that it's going to be the worst year yet in the summer of 2012. And it all starts back in the woods in the fall of 2010, when the oak trees that dominate our forests here in the Northeast let loose with a massive bumper crop of acorns, the biggest crop in over 20 years.
Wow.
That set the mouse populations off and running. They store these acorns, and the mice survive the winter really well when there's an abundance of acorns. And they start growing in population size in the spring and reach a peak the following summer. The summer of 2011, we had mouse populations that were, again, unprecedented.
So the ticks are saying, woohoo, more blood meals for us?
The ticks are jumping for joy, if ticks could jump, which they actually can't. The ticks are saying, more blood meals for us, and it's a great thing for a tick to feed on a mouse because the mice, I mean, let's face it, they're just not fastidious creatures. They don't groom very effectively, and they have a high likelihood of surviving to the next stage, the nymph stage, which is the one we really need to worry about.
Because those are the ones that really transmit the Lyme disease to humans.
They are. And it takes them a whole year from that larval meal that they took last summer, 2011, to this spring or summer when they bite again as a nymph. And we're expecting that because of the hordes of mice last year, there will be hordes of infected ticks this year.
Rick, I remember reading you in the paper in the fall talking about how the low amounts of acorns that we were seeing was going to result in an incredible decimation of the rodent population in the Northeast. How does that affect the tick picture?
That actually exacerbates the problem. It's sort of the 1-2 punch is that just as these hordes of infected ticks that we're expecting come out and are looking for a host to bite this coming May or June, they will confront a world that is almost devoid of small rodents that would be their most plentiful normal hosts. So those hordes of ticks will be looking for something to bite. And our prediction is that that will make matters worse.
I have to say, though, Rick, a couple of weeks ago, the public health entomologist Richard Pollack was on WBUR, and he told our listeners that the mild winter might actually help to drive down the tick population. This is what he said.
The lack of the snowpack actually might burden the ticks. That is, they are exquisitely sensitive to drying out. It may be that there are going to be fewer deer ticks this season.
Does he have it wrong, Rick?
Well, what he's doing is he's creating a hypothesis that is plausible but untested. There is no evidence that a particularly warm winter has any impact on tick numbers. He's right that snow is a good insulator and that ticks are well protected under the snow, but frankly, the ticks do just fine, thank you very much, with or without snowpacks, with or without sub-freezing temperatures.
Indisputably, though, another way that the warm weather impacts the Lyme disease picture, Carrie, is that more of us are more likely to go out and trudge around in the grass.
Absolutely. And we've actually been getting reports on common health from readers, people from the Berkshires, from Wellesley, from all around Massachusetts, saying that they have been out and about and that they have recently observed ticks.
So what can people do about it?
Oh, it's just so depressing. I mean, I feel like the outdoors is basically trashed for me. But the CDC does recommend using insecticides and, you know, watching your clothing. But for example, if I go to the CDC page on preventing tick bites, one of the first things it says is avoid wooded and bushy areas with high grass and leaf litter. Well, goodbye woods. Rick, maybe you have some better advice. I hate to lose the outdoors.
I think that we have to find a happy medium and not use our legitimate fear of tick bites as a reason to stay inside. If we do use those CDC recommendations, like using repellents, and I remind people to use those repellents, spray those things on your shoes and socks as well as your pants and or your bare legs if you're wearing shorts, ticks that cause Lyme disease, the nymphal ticks, are on the ground or barely above the ground. They just don't climb very high. So get your shoes and socks. Don't leave them unsprayed. And then those tick checks, they're very, very important. And then being aware of Lyme disease symptoms, these flu-like symptoms outside the flu season in the summer. If we use a lot of those protective devices, we can seriously reduce our risk of exposure and still enjoy the out-of-doors.
We'll try.
Well, that segment was a bit of a downer, but thanks to both of you guys.
Thanks for having us, Adam.
It's beautiful weather. Enjoy the outside. Just be careful.
Yeah, I'll go out anyway. I will.
Carrie Goldberg is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can read everything that she's been writing about this. It's online right now. Links are at radioboston.org. And Rick Ostfeld, disease ecologist at the Carey Institute of Ecosystem Studies in upstate New York. Great to have you. Hope to have you back again soon.
Thanks very much.